Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. Been away for a couple of weeks. Nice Thanksgiving break. Beautiful time of year. I got to tell you that if you're a year-round runner, you've been doing it for a while, this is prime time. Obviously, it's dark in the morning and a little chilly, but golly, during the day, beautiful days, perfect temperature. And even in the morning, high 20s, low 30s, once you get warmed up, you're dressed properly. This is good stuff. And I always say that the longer you're out there, the better you feel this time of year. And in the summertime, what appears to be nice, you know, bathing suit weather, the longer you're out there, the worse you feel. So it's good, healthy time. And just a reminder for folks, too, to stay on top of that hydration. This is really a sneaky time. It's cooler. You don't maybe sweat as much. You don't feel quite as tired. But you're exerting a lot of energy to stay warm in cooler weather. And you're still exercising. You're still depleting your system of those valuable fluids. So you got to get on your drinking. Had a fun time this morning with you, Mike.
That's right.
I thought maybe we'd share some of your
sure.
I thought it might be a fun thing to do. Something a little different. Do you
right.
share your thoughts you had? Mike, I don't know how much we want to get out of the closet on this one. Mike is talking about doing a marathon.
That's right.
And I don't know if this is we'll consider this a public announcement.
Sure.
Now, you know, ESPN isn't here. We're not unveiling the new
right.
coach at all. It's not Urban Meyer time. But,
right. Close.
Close. But a big deal in any newer runner's life is that realization and then ultimate, willing to kind of get out there and say it publicly that they might want to do the kind of the ultimate distance that road racers do in our country, the marathon.
I think it's good to make it a public announcement because then those days where I'm feeling a little lazy, I can be like, well, people know.
So hold you to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mike approached me the other day. It's been a while since he's done any kind of a consistent training for an event. He's
right.
been doing year-round running, which I've talked to him about, which is very important. I'm big on this. I'm really frustrated more and more with folks that go hibernating. They won't run for a month, 2 months at a time, unless you have some excuse, you're injured or whatever. But, you know, you get away from it. It's hard to start back up again. And Mike's case, he hasn't raced in a while or trained for a race in a while. And so he came to me and said, you know, I'd like to do that two-mile time trial that we talk about so often. Two-mile time trial just gives you an indication of your current fitness level and also tells us what your kind of high-end potential is at this point.
Right.
If training goes well, Mike, and, you know, execution on race day goes well, and weather on race day. Those are kind of the three factors I say
sure.
to people. They say, oh, I ran this two-mile time trial. I ran 15 minutes. That tells me that I, you know, 7:30 pace there, so I should be able to run about an 8:40, 8:50 pace for a marathon. And
right.
I said, well, yeah. But you got to get your training in. Just because you ran a two-mile time trial, don't beat your chest too hard. You ran it fast because you still got to get in mileage.
Yep.
Then we got to hope on race day you perform properly and it's good weather. So we met this morning. Mike was there actually before I was. I told him to be warmed up, ready to go at 5:45.
Yeah, so I got to the parking lot at CHS around
5:30. And I was just pulling in with Cynthia. She had her gang she was running with. And Mike did a little more warming up. I set up a little course for some folks that had a little bit of a tempo run this morning doing. Then met Mike at the track and maybe go through it from there, Mike. Tell them what we did that led to what I would consider an extremely successful 2 mile time trial experience.
Right. So we started with some dynamic exercising or stretching, and that's something I've really never done before. I played soccer in high school a little bit, but it's been so long since I had a serious sort of like instructions and not just,
well,
you know, Mike going out there, go run. So we started with some of that. And once I got through some of the herky jerky motions, got a little more comfortable with that, did that for a good 5 minutes or so.
And we were talking at the UVA game on Saturday. I hadn't been to a game all season, I'm sorry to say. And I think it must be a jinx. But anyway,
yeah.
They were doing a lot of dynamic stretching, Mike
right.
London's gang. The crew yeah. out there prior to the start of the game. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah.
The same type of stuff you were doing this morning, Mike.
Yeah, that one where you put your arms up, sort of make like
a
scissors.
Sachet,
like,
yeah. The
that
one's around
tough.
The world sachet, yeah.
Yeah, so did that, got warmed up, and then took off my sort of athletic sweatshirt that when it's cold I would run in, took off my winter hat, and I felt pretty warm, pretty good. and then started away.
Tell folks, this is, I hope, a little tutorial here. It might be some guidance. Mike had run just under 90 minutes at the 10-miler, because that was in the spring. So that's pretty much all we had to go on at this point. So I last night came up with, I thought Mike could run around 16:40, 8:20 pace for 2 miles. So I gave him a game plan for that. And what tell him what we decided. How do we break down those eight laps? What do we do with the first lap?
So the first lap was a time of 2:20, but it was also important to, once you made it about the halfway point in the first lap, to go around a minute 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So I followed that. I was actually at a minute 10 for that first half of the first lap. And then I guess I slowed down a little bit. So I ended up on the first lap around 2:27, I think we said. So a minute 17 for the back half of the first lap.
Well off of 16:40, because 16:40 is 8:20 per mile.
So that
and that was
over,
well over 9 minute pace at that point.
Yeah.
You do the math. So that was closer to maybe 18:30. All right. So set it up from there. You came through the lap and.
Yeah. So got through lap number one, and then. Lap number two picked up the pace a little bit, but not really that much. What did we say? It was about after the second lap.
About the same. It was about
2:17 or
maybe 2:17, 2:18. So you picked up, I guess, a fair amount, but still not where I'd wanted you to be. I said, well, let's try and get down about 2:07 for the second lap and then start clicking off some 2:05s after that. So you're 2:17. So now you're seemingly in trouble.
Sure.
But no panic, because what you've done is you've stored away two very smart warm-up laps, and you have now six laps to go. So tell them how it went.
Well, I want to say this as well. I liked what you said before we started, that that first lap, look at it as if it's an extension of your warm-ups, and it's not, all right, here we are, it's the 2 miles. In a lot of ways, more than maybe me going at a better pace, I think that helped my mind relax a little, that the first lap is just an extension of the warm-up. Don't even think about it, instead of getting all hyped up and thinking, all right, now I got to get my great time. So I think that helped me a lot in the mental aspects, maybe more than anything. But
interesting.
Then that third lap, I don't know exactly what my time was.
I think it was about 2:05, because I said to you, I clicked it and I said, that's getting, now we're on game plan.
Yeah.
We still had some baggage to get rid of.
Sure.
But what I knew at that point was, you ran that 2:05, you still seemed really comfortable, that you had positioned yourself to be in control.
Right.
Many people you think, how could you get out of control in eight laps? All you got to, if you'd run that first lap at two flat, or 2:05, let's say 2:05, ran the first lap, you that's not your normal training pace by any means. You haven't raced in a while. You could have gotten yourself in trouble. Okay, so your third lap was about 2:05, and then you went through the mile in
8:40.
8:40.
So I'd have to do the quick math, but.
Okay, so 8:40. So you're clicking along about 2:10 pace per lap, and that's good, because you'd open with that 2:27,
right?
And your next one's 2:17, next one's 2:05. So if you got your average pace down per lap to 2:10 after four laps, that fourth lap must have been under 2 minutes,
by
quite a bit,
yeah.
Maybe 1:55.
Yeah, and then I sort of started grooving at that pace for that second mile around there. And then probably picked it up a little bit towards the end. I could feel myself moving a little faster at the end, but probably around that minute 50.
The interesting thing about you, Mike, is that your form started getting more efficient. You started looking better.
You looked,
you know, kind of like the classic Rocky thing, the first lap. It's cold in the morning. You're loosening the body up and working out any of the stiffness. Really smart, because your fibers are cold. You don't want to shock them.
Sure.
By the end, you actually were looking like a real track runner. Your form was good, and your shoulders were relaxed. You weren't over flailing your arms. You weren't over striding. You looked like you were hitting pretty nice. Your foot strike was nice. So tell them what you ended up with.
Ended up finishing after the 2 miles with a 16:04.
16:04. So 16:04, and you're shooting for 16:40. It's worth repeating. Pretty impressive. And the great thing, Mike, is you went up. You not only did you go beyond what I thought your current potential was, but you were, once again, I hate to sound redundant, but I hope all the listeners that ever do any kind of racing or working out at this higher level, and it is high. Listen, when you ask your body to go up against the watch,
right,
on a track, which track never lies, it's a little higher. It doesn't mean you're better than other people, but you're asking a little bit more from your body.
Sure.
You were in control over those last four laps.
Yeah.
And when you crossed the finish line, I wasn't in your hands. You weren't flailing your arms.
Right.
You just came across smooth. I actually think if you hadn't surged that last 100 coming in, you probably could have gone another lap or two at that pace.
Sure, yeah. I would not have finished the eighth lap at that pace.
Yeah.
But I probably could have done another two.
So you
probably could have done another two and felt then probably felt it.
So the scary thing now to tell you is, you know, you're 8:02 pace for 2 miles. So theoretically.
Yeah, I was curious.
And it is theoretically.
Sure.
But you're somewhere around 9:10 to 9:20 pace.
Wow.
That you could run a marathon at if you get the proper training in. And again, execution on race day, weather goes well. It's a stretch to
right.
I mean, that's you're looking at low 4 hour range.
Wow.
Guy your age, you're reasonably fit, your weight's good. That's not too much of a stretch. That'd be a decent time to shoot for. So we'll be talking, Mike.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah, because and also that 10-miler day, the weather was perfect. You know, there was like all the variables worked out in my favor as well that day. But cool, I'm looking forward to it.
And another thing maybe you want to shout out to folks is that, you know, that wasn't your normal time of day of running, which is a little bit, you know, a exercise physiologist would have a field day with that. Say, well, this guy, you know, he probably would have been better off to run that time trial at 4 in the afternoon, you know, when he's used to going out for his run. So that played into it too, but it was eerily good weather this morning once you got moving. There wasn't much wind.
I will say, though, that I get up very early for work the other day.
So your body's used to that.
It wasn't a shock to be up at 5.
Yeah,
that wasn't something, because I remember when I first started getting up that early, I was like, oh, this is not good. But now that I've been doing that for 4 years, that wasn't a big deal for me.
It's good.
I could see
it's
that.
It's impressive stuff. You made it worth it for me to get out there and
thank you for
meet
helping.
You a little bit earlier before the rest of the gang. And you had quite a cheering crowd there
this
morning
nice.
Of strangers to you, but they're all yelling, go Mike, go Mike. And Cynthia knows you, but it was nice. And
yeah, everybody was very friendly. That probably got me another 5 to 7 seconds.
Well, they can all relate. That's the thing.
Right.
Everyone can relate, so it's nice. We had two really nice events on Thanksgiving morning. Of course, the one I was very involved with as a volunteer director of the race day logistics for the course and the finish line was the Boar's Head Turkey Trot, 30th year, Mike. Really neat stuff.
Mm.
Had 1,500 folks.
Wow.
Yeah, big turnout. And we raised the event itself raised $40,000 for the UVA Children's Hospital.
Great.
That's just off the charts. Great stuff. And first time since 2005, we had the top three women break the very elite barrier of 20 minutes. So Louise Knutson, 1825, Amy Martin, 1948, and Andrea Wright, 1952. Three women that I've had the great pleasure of working with over the years at one level or another. And on that hilly, what is widely considered to be one of the tougher but really beautiful course back there in Edenham, that's a really impressive time. Schultzville Track Club, of course, runs the show there, and we had about 45-50 volunteers at the finish line, and then I had another 45-50 folks out on the course. And neat thing happened. Neat, it wasn't so neat at the moment, but as I was back at the starting line getting everything started up, Dom Starcia there ready to fire the gun.
Right.
Comes out with his daughters every year. It's been really neat to see him out there with his family. Little did I know, at 2:02, out on the course, a mile into the course, where the course actually crisscrosses, so the slower runners, the fast runners are coming back on the slower runners.
Right.
It's a really edgy part of the course. These guys are out there, Art Kaiser, Greg McDonald, Wade Tremblio, buddies of mine that help every year. They always help at the same intersection. It's a really challenging intersection to work because of the logistics.
Right.
They hear this crack, 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 kaboom, and this gigantic old pine tree falls across the road, falls across Rowledge, which is about 2.3 miles into the race.
So on the course.
8:58. They don't have my cell phone number. These guys, they're yelling for residents who are out there getting ready to cheer on the runners.
Oh my God.
Anybody got a chainsaw? Anybody got a chainsaw? I was joking. I said, didn't you guys bring your chainsaw with you? Don't you know when you volunteer with Mark, you got to bring a chainsaw?
Right.
So,
of course.
And it's one of these pine trees that you couldn't, you'd wrap your arms around and you couldn't touch your fingers. And it's got all of the limbs, all the sharp, you know, pine. It's not very, very limber branches, you know.
Right.
It's not like an oak tree or maple where there's a little wisp to their branches. So these guys they're justifiably panic, and they cannot budget, the three guys. Well, totally by coincidence or random, that morning this Army unit from Fort Lee shows up to volunteer. I don't know how they found out about the race, whether somebody with local ties – These guys said it's a charitable cause. Let's get our community service in. So I had met them at 8 o'clock to give them their marching orders along with all the other volunteers, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And there's that section of the course there that is really funky. So I said, just line the cones, stay in the middle of the road over that quarter mile. So Fort Lee, the woman who's in charge, is unit leader. I don't know what the army term is for it, but she yells to these guys. She comes over and she goes, permission to help? And they said, sure. And so she yells out to this group, 24 of them come marching over. She goes, everybody wraps her arm around, their arms around this tree. And she goes, on the count of three, lift. They lifted the tree up and shimmied it off to the side.
Oh, my God.
And now we're looking at about 5 minutes after nine. So just, with 6 or 7 minutes to spare.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it really would have signaled the end of the race there. We would have had to.
No hurdles.
And totally unbeknownst to me, I didn't hear about this till after.
That's unbelievable.
The race. And I guess most of the entrants, in fact, all the entrants didn't know about it. No. Art Kaiser came up to me after I was loading my car up to go home. I had down to my sister's for Thanksgiving, and we're doing a little shakedown meeting there. And he comes up and he goes, "Hey, hear about the tree?" So, anyway, amazing.
Wow. Well, I guess if you didn't hear about it till after, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign, exactly. So thanks to all those folks.
That's awesome.
We posted every week. We try and post pictures from an event or two from the weekend before, high school, college, and local. And we got a lot of photos on the Ragged Mountain Facebook page.
Cool.
Including the Fort Lee unit.
Well, maybe what we'll do is I'll take that picture from Facebook and we'll put it on to the podcast. So people can take a look at the tree.
There was another turkey trot out in Earliesville because the one at Boar's Head fills up so quickly. There were 500 folks there, and then good for them. It's another nice way to celebrate the start of the holidays. Adam Visake ran at the Nike Regional Cross Country Championships last weekend. The superstar, and he's a superstar athlete, and he's a superstar young man. I say this over and over again. He's one of the classiest, most together elite athletes I think I've ever met. He makes me want to root for him even that much harder. I don't know if you saw the Daily Progress the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It had a three-page spread, Mike,
nice.
On the All-Central Virginia cross-country team. And we had asked each of these kids about 6 or 7 questions, favorite song that they used to motivate themselves, hardest course, 5K PR, blah, blah, blah. One of the questions you asked, the last thought that goes through your head is the gun goes off. And he put down, he's the only guy of 32 kids, boys and girls, he puts down, my teammates. Yeah, it's a kind of a pretty grounded answer to that question. There were all kinds of classic answers, the types of answers I would have put down, but he puts down his teammates. Anyway, second at the regional championships.
Wow.
This guy can run like the wind, so he's going out to Oregon this coming weekend for the Nike Nationals.
Very cool.
This is the elite of elites, the best cross-country runners in America. He'll be competing with them, so we wish him the best. Albemarle's
absolutely
superstar. The Monticello Holiday Classic is this Saturday. I'm encouraging everybody and their children to come on out. If you have kids, if you don't have kids, just come on out and run the 5K, but there's a dash for the kids. Why is this unique and historic? Because it's starting up at the house. What house? The house. Probably the most famous house in Alamar County, one of the most famous houses in the country, and one of the more historic homes in the world, Monticello. We get to run a lap or two around the house and the gardens, not through the gardens. Somebody said the other day, going to be running, trampling the gardens. I said, give me a break.
Fucking
Mark Lorenzoni, come on. I got a little more reverence
for
than
me.
That. Plus, I'm being guided by my Monticello buddies. Yeah, let's run through Peter Hatch's garden up there. But you're going to get a really neat up-close-and-personal tour of the property, and then it finishes down below at the visitor center.
That's
fantastic
great.
Stuff. All the money goes to the Saunders Trail upkeep. If you've ever used that cinder path going up the side of a mountain behind Mickey Tavern and up to Monticello, this is a great way to support it. Our big thanks to Glenn and Jason and the staff up there, but particularly Leslie Bowman, who's granted permission for this historic run to take place. So we're excited about this. Entries are still open. You can sign up on race day. 10 Miles Training Program continues. You're thinking about getting running into your life, like our buddy Brad Savage.
Right. He's been going, too.
Yeah, Brad out there. We got Les out there. We got Lee doing it. We got you training here. This might be one of the fitter radio stations in America.
That's cool.
They're very
probably
cool. Jay runs,
Jay's
it's
fast,
good
yeah
stuff. That's every Saturday. Go to the ShultzvilleTrackClub.org website and click onto the training program. Saturday's 8 o'clock at CHS. You can still show up. A quick tip that I'm going to try and do a tip a week that I kind of go over with the 10-miler folks. Watch the downhills. Downhills are Everyone shall so we like to bellyache and moan and complain about the uphills, but every uphill you go, you know, the opposite direction, it's downhill. And watch the stride length, keep it short, ease into the downhills. I know there it's a luxury time, it's a treat time, but the faster you run the downhills, the more you lean into them and really pour it on, the quicker your knees are going to start to feel it. So you got to be really extra careful. And we're going to have that on Saturday with this Monticello race. It's going to be steep. Think about it. You've ever been up. Most people have been to Monticello. Yeah. Very, you know, it's top of the mountain there. You got to get down off of that mountain. You got to go downhill on pavement. Congrats to Austin Ellis, another Adam Vissakay type kid. He's just graduated from Milligan College. He had a tremendous career there, All-American status for some of his NAIA schools, ninth in the nation in his division. He's just a special kid, and congratulations to him on being a really classy athlete and having, you know, had a really tremendous career. This Three Bridges Marathon, Half Marathon, I put this on. This is our third year. We do it on Whitehall. It's this coming Sunday. It's been closed for 2 weeks. Huh. I'm in awe. It's tiny, 150 folks, but we're really impressed with the interest in it. It's a flat course, beautiful, out there running along the river that leads below the dam at Sugar Hollow. So that's this Sunday morning. At some point here in the coming weeks, I'll be doing my year-end top 10 stories of the year. I do it with the Progress every year. I write a little countdown to the top 10 running stories in Charlottesville. Right. But I was thinking about who improved the most this year in marathoning from one marathon or from a slower marathon to this, from previous PR to this. And under consideration already are three folks that I had really the honor of working along with is Dan Moriarty picked up 20 minutes from his best marathon time. He's right at almost at 4 flat now. Paul Wagner picked up 32 minutes in his Richmond effort this year, 32. Mm-hmm. But the queen right now and top improved that I know of, unless somebody give me a shout out, is Diddy Morse with 41 minutes. We talked about her a few weeks ago, so pretty impressive stuff. I think that's about it. It's a quieter time. UVA is winding down. I know folks have been asking a lot about the coaching situation. I know as much as anybody else or as little as anyone else. We wish Coach Vigilante, he and his family, all the very best. Tremendous strides that, no pun intended, the program made in regard to facility and then a national stature. So we wish him all the best. He stepped down last Tuesday in a surprise announcement right before the Thanksgiving break. But it's a quieter time competition-wise for the university. It's a quieter time for high schoolers. It's even a quieter time for locals with foot racing. So it's a time of year for people to be working on. You're thinking of anything of consequence in the spring, a half marathon, a marathon, a 10-mile, work on your base. And your base just should be getting your mileage slowly up, getting your long run slowly up into double figures, but not pushing it. Just nice aerobic heart rate, conversational pace. I've been telling people, take your watch off. I was talking to Paula Capobianco, one of my athletes this morning. I hadn't seen her in a while out running. She had run earlier in the fall, and she goes, today was the first day I put my Garmin on in almost 2 months, Mark. I said, good for you, Paula. Good for you. Take the thing off. I'm not anti-Garmin, but just get out and stop thinking about time and pace and just enjoy your running. So, all right. So I think that's about it. We got the real quick up shout out New Year's Day 5K. It's a ways off. It's over a month away, but that's Charlottesville Track Club's big event they have during the holiday season. And of course, it's on January 1st, 11 o'clock start. Pretty cool, beautiful course out in Free Union. Go to charlottesvilletrackclub.org for information on that. All right, everyone, thanks for listening in and have a great week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.